and welcome to Tallahassee Tree Talks. I'm Daniel Siegel. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking to citizens of Tallahassee about knowledge, experiences, and stories that have to do with one of our city's most incredible characteristics. Trees play major roles in our lives, and we also play a major role in the lives of trees. Join me as I get to know more about people, trees, and their relationships in Tallahassee. This podcast is sponsored by a community engagement grant from the Sunshine State Biodiversity Group in Tallahassee, Florida, a nonprofit aimed at conservation, education, and community outreach on environmental issues facing the region. For more information, visit sunshinestatebiodiversitygroup.com. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how phones and social media can bring people closer to the trees around them. We talk about historic oak trees, spiting an ex-boyfriend, landscaping, intercollegiate Instagram rivalries, and George Washington, among other things. But let's start off with Tallahassee. Part of what makes Tallahassee special is that it's a city inside a forest. Tallahassee is filled with trees. It's also filled with people. There is undoubtedly something special about living in a place which integrates natural life into its urban design. The city combines natural life with man-made structures, as do its colleges. Florida State University was ranked 7th most beautiful campus in the United States by College Magazine in 2016, and like many of Tallahassee's citizens, FSU's students appreciate and benefit from this beauty. One FSU student who appreciates nature and who certainly loves trees is Chase Clough.
My family has always been a nature family, so our vacations would be to places that we would then go hiking. For example, we went to Arizona and we did hikes there in the Grand Canyon. We would go to North Carolina and do hikes to waterfalls. So, and my entire life has been centered around nature. I think that also comes from the fact that my dad owns a pest control business. So he's super knowledgeable about trees and animals. Throughout my entire life, trees have been a focal point, which is great because I think nature is very healing to be surrounded by all of these other living creatures that you otherwise wouldn't notice. It's so peaceful and calm, and it really centers me personally.
Chase has a bachelor's degree in English and advertising from FSU, and she graduated with a master's in integrated marketing communications last December. Chase knows how to reach people.
I think with social media, you can reach more people faster than just by talking or handing out flyers, because a hashtag can reach thousands versus your hands reaching maybe dozens of people in a day. So spreading information becomes way easier, and informing people and educating them is also really helpful.
She's used her marketing prowess to spread her appreciation of nature. Chase is the founder of FSU Trees, an Instagram page devoted to pictures of trees on Florida State's campus.
I started the Instagram page actually my freshman year of undergrad. I'm from Central Florida, Melbourne, Florida, which is literally just an hour east of Orlando. Like, if you drew a line to the East Coast, that's where I live. And I had never seen leaves change color. And I was just enamored with, like, the beautiful foliage on FSU's campus.
While not on the level of New England, a North Florida fall is a colorful, beautiful surprise for those from further south. Florida State also offers surprises for students from further north. Because of the large number of live oak trees, spring is the season in which the most leaves have to be raked. The grounds and landscaping team collects and composts the leaves they rake at the school's plant nursery. The stunning fall leaves at Florida State inspired Chase to create the FSU Trees Instagram account,
I started just taking pictures of every single tree that I thought was beautiful, which meant that my camera roll was full of just tree pictures. And my boyfriend at the time was making fun of me because I was like, oh, I should like start an Instagram page. I have so many pretty pictures. He was like, no one would ever follow that. That's so dumb. Like, why would you even think that? So out of spite, I created it. And as it turns out, people actually really like trees. And soon I had like hundreds of followers and people were submitting their own tree pictures, not just liking my own. And I was like, take that.
Yeah. So when did people start submitting pictures? Because I know that's a pretty major component of the account now.
It took about maybe 2 months to get people to start submitting pictures. I mostly made my friends start submitting photos. For the most part, it was just people I already knew that were following the account in the first few months of it starting. And all of my friends thought it was cute as well. So they submitted their own photos. Or anytime I would see someone I knew post a picture of a tree, I would reply to it and go, hey, you should submit that to FSU Trees. Crazy thought, but... And I would also see people on campus taking photos of trees, and I would stop them and tell them to submit that to FSU Trees too, just as little word of mouth marketing. So it started pretty early. For the most part, I would say for the first few months, it was just me and my own pictures. And then I had a friend that I would make go on tree walks with me between our classes. And I would take pictures and they would take pictures. And it was really just trying to get everyone enough momentum to post every day in the beginning. But yeah, in the first few months, people were submitting regularly.
Trees are an important part of FSU's campus for several reasons. The grounds department very intentionally incorporates trees into the campus's design aesthetically, but also practically. And do you think FSU does a good job of incorporating nature into its design and landscaping?
I definitely think so. There's so many large, beautiful trees on campus, but there's already so many beautiful flowers as well. Near the Marching Chiefs practice field, which is also the lacrosse field, they plant lilac, which is so beautiful when it blooms. And there's so many bees around it too. As pollinators, it's also super important to have them. For the most part, I think FSU does a really good job of having some form of nature no matter where you look. Just walking anywhere, you're gonna see either a tree or a flower or even just a really ornate bush. It's all around you. No matter where you look, you're seeing a beautiful landscape.
And I also find it feels more sort of naturally incorporated, where sometimes you see like nature, but it's just like a manicured lawn and you're like, that mm-hmm. doesn't look right.
Definitely. I think we have a lot of like flowers everywhere and not necessarily like potters. It's just a nice breath, especially near the integration statue. I think that's a really good place to sit and not only people watch, but just enjoy the nature that's around you, because there's so many different types of plants that meld well together. So there's always going to be bees buzzing around, a bird chirping in the trees, or a squirrel trying to steal food out of your hand.
The abundance of buzzing bees at Florida State is no coincidence. The grounds department grows many native flowering plants. They also work to protect pollinator nests. Honeybee hives are left undisturbed unless they're in a particularly busy place. If they are, they're relocated by a beekeeper. Of course, it's a bit more difficult for people to coexist peacefully with wasps than with honeybees, but the grounds department does their best, strategically placing decoy hornets' nests to discourage wasps from building nests where they might otherwise cause frequent stings. Trees, like any other plant, need to be pollinated. For flowering trees, called angiosperms, pollen, which carries male genes, needs to be deposited in the stigma of a flower, where an ovule carries female genes. For gymnosperms, the process is different. Gymnosperms are seed plants. In trees, they're usually those that produce cones instead of flowers, conifers, cycads, and ginkgo. Their defining characteristic is that their ovule is unprotected, or naked, until it's fertilized. The ovules of angiosperm trees have a carpel, a layer covering their ovule. Gymnosperms' pollen and ovules are produced in different types of cones. Pollen must be transmitted from one to the other. Pollen from one flower or cone on a tree can be used to pollinate other flowers or cones on the same tree, or pollen can be carried to a different tree of the same species. Gymnosperms usually rely on wind pollination, as do many broad-leafed hardwood trees like oaks, elms, and walnuts. Wind pollination is inefficient. Wind-pollinated trees have to produce a lot of pollen, and it struggles to travel far. In pollen season, this is very easy to see. Any of the pollen we observe, whether it be coating windows and cars or tickling the insides of our nostrils, has missed its target. It hasn't reached an ovule. Other trees are different. Some trees are wind-pollinated, but many others are pollinated by animals, usually insects. This approach is much more efficient, so these trees produce less pollen. Animal and insect-pollinated trees can also be spaced further apart because their pollen can travel further than that transported by wind. They also tend to have larger, smellier flowers. For many trees, especially many fruit trees, pollinators are essential. Fruit trees that have been cross-pollinated, meaning that the pollen came from a different tree than the ovule, often produce more fruit than those that self-pollinate. Not all trees need pollinators. For example, most citrus trees are self-pollinating. Satsumas, those mandarins we heard about from David McManus, an employee of the Florida State Grounds Department, are actually parthenocarpic, meaning that they produce fruit without fertilization. No pollen needs to reach their ovules at all. Fruit produced this way is usually seedless. This is part of why the Florida State Grounds Department is so intentional about relocating pollinator nests and incorporating pollinator-friendly native flowering plants into their landscaping. This kind of work allows for the beautiful flowering trees that contribute so greatly to the beauty of spaces on Florida State's campus. Trees with lots of flowers are usually a hit on the FSU Trees Instagram account.
So what other sort of natural spaces on FSU's campus do you find that you like the most, or that, you know, posters to the account like the most?
People love Landis, which makes sense because that's like the main portion of campus, with there being Strozier and the dorms all around it. People also really like the, I call it Oak Alley, where if you walk down, it's the landing strip of like where the new student union is and HCB. People love those trees because they are so large and they canopy over everyone. So you're forced to notice them because you're given shade by them. They make your walk to class so much better because you're not blistering hot in the Florida sun. I personally really love the little courtyard between Bellamy and HCB. There's one bench, it's a picnic table right underneath the trees, and it's so nice and it's so calm because while you get people walking by, you have two large areas of traffic with a few strays, so it's nice just to sit there and read. I also love, my favorite tree on campus is on Landis, towards the top by Landis dorm. It's this stone bench with one tree canopying over it. I actually took my undergrad photos there.
So you sort of preempted one of my questions, which is what's your favorite tree on campus or in Tallahassee? A follow-up though, what's your favorite type of tree?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. There's so many good ones. I love all of them so much. I do love oak trees because of the way they're just so big. It makes you feel small, and it also reminds you that there have been things before you and there will be things after you, but you can still make a change now.
And are there any types of trees that you don't really like?
Don't really like palm trees, but that's just because I'm oversaturated with them when I go back home. Palm trees everywhere, especially the like really tall ones with not a lot of fronds. They just kind of end. I don't like those.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I personally find, because I'm from Maryland, so to me it's the opposite, where I'm like, oh, I see oaks all the time, but the palm trees are different. Also, though, like the live oaks here with the Spanish moss, it's like a totally different feeling.
Yes. Especially when they blow in the wind, too, and like everything just moves as one together. It's so beautiful.
Chase thinks FSU trees' rapid growth resulted from the fact that trees are an integral part of the look, feeling, and culture of FSU.
Right now, it's, I think, a little under 3,000 followers, which is crazy to me. Around COVID, we started to stagnate. I say we, it's just me. I was the only one running it. But when people think there's multiple people, I think it makes them feel a part of something. And so I would put, it also feels more official to me to say we, like as a brand rather than I. Around COVID, everyone left Tallahassee because obviously the school shut down, we went remote, and most people didn't want to be here because there was nothing going on and they wanted to be with their families. So I started getting less and less pictures. Because of that, I started posting in the FSU class of Facebook pages, asking people to send me any pictures they had in their camera rolls. And that's when I got a really big boom in followers. Before that, I was like in the hundreds. And after I started doing that, I bumped up to like almost 2,000. So COVID actually helped me with like getting more followers, especially because people really missed campus and being with their friends and having a place to like reminisce and be nostalgic really helped grow my account.
And do you think that the trees were part of that nostalgia?
Oh, definitely. I've had multiple people comment on posts talking about how much they love the account, especially after they've graduated, and how it makes them miss campus and think of their time in college. There's also been so many people that elate in trees with me and will tell me that seeing my posts every day make their day, and they're just happy to be in nature and celebrating nature.
At my last count, FSU Trees has made 905 posts. Many of them are photos of trees of all types, taken from every possible angle. Sunset photos are especially popular. The color palette changes from green to orange, yellow, and red each fall as students begin to appreciate the autumn foliage. Not all the posts are just trees, though. Many have squirrels, birds, cats, dogs, flowers, and people as well. One post even has a pet turtle on a leash. Some posts don't have trees at all, instead advertising tree-related events at Florida State. The account's first post on December 1st, 2018, features yellow leaves on a tree by the Longmire building. It has 30 likes. Scroll all the way up to the newest posts and you'll find many with hundreds. The most likes? Chase's graduation post, thanking her followers. It has 818 likes. FSU Trees isn't just a place to find nice pictures. It's become its own community. The love of trees connects FSU students to their campus, but also to each other.
Even though there are so many of us, with a school of 45,000 people, you can connect with anyone at any time. Just going on Landis and seeing someone taking a picture of a tree, I can go up to them and talk to them and make that little connection and be like, hey, you should submit that to this account. There are so many people that I've talked to because of the tree page that I otherwise wouldn't have, because we're in completely different majors, or I'm a grad student and they're in undergrad right now. I live on campus and they're off campus. So I'm making connections with people that I never would have talked to. And we're, even though we're so different, we still have this common love of something, where you can find connection with people in the oddest places. I've had frat boys who I would not be friends with submit pictures, and then all of their friends comment on them and tell them, congrats, King, looking so good, great tree. And that's so cute. And it's so fun to see something like that from someone that I never would have talked to.
And do you think that that sort of relationship with trees is sort of isolated to FSU, or do you see it outside of that?
Funny that you mentioned that. There was an UF tree page for a while. I was in marching band, the marching chiefs for FSU in the color guard section. And at one point there was like a joint Facebook page for us, and I had made a post about FSU trees. And so then someone started UF trees, and it started this funny little war between us of like, okay, whose tree page is going to get more followers? Like, we need to promote this. So it's interesting that just because I made a tree page, someone in a university 3 hours away from us made their own to celebrate nature on their own campus. There have been other people that tried to start other pages. I've also seen, there used to be like an FSU flowers page on Instagram that was active that isn't anymore. I'm assuming because the person graduated, and it was from years ago, like 2016. And I didn't get to FSU until 2018. So I think it's not trees, it's just nature, and people find specific things beautiful. I also would post pictures of anything anyone submitted. So like flowers, you can submit grass if you're really feeling it. Anything that isn't just a building, anything nature related makes it its way onto the page. So it's really fun.
The account's gotten pretty popular, so of course I had to ask how many posts Chase has made.
A lot, considering it's been 6 years now. There were times where I would take breaks from the account, like over summer or winter breaks, or I would get really busy with school and forget to post. But I've been pretty consistent since it started, so thousands of posts by now.
With so many submissions, I assumed the account must be pretty selective about what gets posted. I was wrong.
I will post every single photo that I get, even if it's not great quality or the lighting's not amazing. The fact that you saw a tree, you took the time to stop and take a picture of it and just take in the beauty around you is enough to get on the account. So you would DM me a photo. I would log your information into an Excel spreadsheet, or a Google sheet rather, and then I would go and I would post from there. I used to just scroll back in my DMs, but since it's gotten to thousands of followers, it's harder to do that, with people also submitting multiple photos, sometimes over 10, which is the max allowed on Instagram, or I would get more than one person submitting a photo a day. And so with that kind of growth, it's impossible to keep track of just like through memory, and people would slip through the cracks, which would make me feel bad. So you send a photo to FSU Trees, you just DM it, and then I log it in my spreadsheet, and then I just go chronologically and I post with whoever submitted first.
Were you expecting the kind of growth that you saw when you first made the account?
Definitely not. I definitely had doubt that people would care as much as I do about stuff like that. In our day-to-day lives, it's really easy to be stuck to our phones or worried about what's going on. There's so much strife in the world, no matter where you live or where you're from. Even in your personal life, there's stuff that can go wrong at any moment. So to have so many people be with me and stopping and enjoying the little things and just taking in a tree with a bird in it, I did not expect that. Along with that, so many people have like their headphones in when they're walking on campus and they're not paying attention to anything around them. So to see other people really enjoying nature, even if it is just some oak trees on Landis, it's really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure also just seeing the pictures makes people want to go outside and look at the trees in person.
With thousands of posts, there are bound to be some repeats. So what are Florida State's most photogenic trees?
people really like the big oak tree in front of Strozier. So I get that one a lot, but it's really fun too. There's like this really ugly tree on Langford Green that's like green and spiky. And people love that one too, because it's so weird looking. So I get a lot of photos of like those two, but people love trees, which is so fun, especially people who aren't from Florida and aren't used to palm trees. And it's funny to me because the oak trees were cool to me with like color, the leaves changing color. But there's also a lot of people that find beauty in palm trees, which to me, they're just everywhere. A palm tree is like seeing a blade of grass where I'm from. So to have people find beauty in things that I was ignoring was also very enlightening.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool that we have like that mix of palm and oak trees, you know, the tropical and deciduous.
Yeah, it's really cool. The difference, especially because FSU too changes landscaping pretty often, especially around dorm rooms. When I lived on campus, the different little plants around like Magnolia and 1851, they would change them like every season. So there would be new people taking photos of those and new things to always just stop and look at and take in and just admire.
The oak Chase is referencing is the James P. Love Oak, named for an FSU farm and dairy operations manager. James Pascoe Love came to FSU, at that time the Florida State College for Women, to run the FSU farm and dairy operations, raising crops and cattle on campus. James Love worked at FSU from 1920 until 1958. Under his supervision, the Florida State farm grew to 900 acres. Florida State hasn't always been situated within an urban environment. The Love Oak stood outside James Love's original farmhouse, which was close to the modern location of Strozier Library. The tree has been standing proudly for around 170 years, meaning that it might predate the West Florida Seminary, the forerunner to Florida State University. The Love Oak has changed a bit since James Love worked at FSU, having lost a very large limb. Regardless, the oak stands strong. It's one of the oldest, largest, and best-known live oaks on campus, and as a result, it is also one of the best protected. There's a hedge of boxwoods around the Love Oak protecting its root zone from heavy foot traffic. It's one of 8 trees at FSU that were inducted into the Leon County Patriarch Oak Program, and it's an important part of the school's history. It's been around for longer than any of the buildings, after all. The Love Oak is not Florida State's only historic tree. Chase also appreciates the George Washington Memorial trees, which were planted on February 19, 1932, to commemorate the bicentennial of George Washington's birth. These 5 oak trees were grown from acorns at the FSU nursery. The planting ceremony featured speeches by the presidents of each student class, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, as well as the president of the Alumni Association. The planting was very deliberate. The trees were planted 100 feet apart, such as to not crowd each other when they grew. Live oaks were chosen because they were known to be hardy when it comes to frost. The George Washington Memorial trees are all marked with bronze plaques. Word was spread by the Florida Flambeau, FSU's campus newspaper, rather than an Instagram account. But these historic plaques are a clear marker that students at Florida State have always valued trees. This history continues with the FSU Trees Instagram, even now that Chase is leaving the university.
FSU's history department has taken over the account for me since I graduated with my master's. Since I will be moving out of Florida soon, it seemed like it was time to turn over and have it give it a new leaf, some might say. So while I don't run it anymore, it's still a living, breathing account, so you should go follow it and submit your favorite tree.
I spoke with the history department employee who took over running the FSU Trees Instagram account.
My name is Claudia Liebeskind, and I'm a faculty member in the history department. And as such, I coordinate the history department's social media And I also teach, or my main reason for being here is teaching Asian history.
So how did you hear about the FSU Trees Instagram page, and how did you get connected with it?
The FSU Trees Instagram page came up, one of their posts came up on my feed, my personal Instagram feed, and I saw it, and I like trees. I love the campus, it's so beautiful, and I figured this is another part of the FSU universe that's online, and so I decided to follow it.
And how did you get connected with the creator, Chase Clough?
So when Chase was graduating, the semester she was graduating, one of the posts she put out said that she was not quite sure what would be happening to her account or to the Trees account that she had set up. And so then I reached out and I said, if you just want to have somebody continue with it, I already coordinate, you know, social media for my department. If you want to, I can take this on and just continue sharing students and FSU community members' photos on Trees.
And so what have been, you know, your favorite or some of the coolest posts that you've seen since you started running it?
We've had some wonderful posts on just the big oaks with the Spanish moss hanging down, and, you know, with like various shades of coloring, or even in like storms approaching. So really, you know, weather and tree has been a lovely combination.
Those photos of big oaks were especially appealing to Claudia. Oaks are her favorite type of tree.
So a favorite tree, I mean, what type of tree? I love the different type of oak trees you have here in North Florida. I think mainly because of their age and how they've grown, the sort of very way they display their branches, the structure of the tree formation is just, I find it very, very impressive. And it gives you a sense of rootedness, literally, and history as well, because many of those trees have many decades or even centuries on them. And so seeing and thinking about what these trees might have experienced and seen is to me very nice.
Claudia had an unsurprising appreciation for the historic Love Oak.
Do I have a favorite tree? I don't know. I mean, I think the one by the library, the big oak by the library, is, I think, one of my favorites here. It is so huge, and it needs propping up, and it's sprawly, and it provides shade to all the people sitting on the tables there outside of Storgia. So maybe the big oak by the Storgia is the one that I really like.
Chase has done a lot to further an appreciation for trees at Florida State, and she did so for a great reason.
I would say I'm someone who's like an environmentalist, so I always try to take into account how my actions affect the planet. So like, I don't shop from fast fashion brands anymore. I thrift, or I make sure I buy from sustainable businesses. I also make sure that I'm not using single-use plastics as much as possible. So because I love nature and being around it, I want to preserve it. And so I try to make sure that all of my actions reflect that mentality.
So what do you think that this sort of same mentality is being spread by the FSU Trees account or by Love for Trees in general?
I think so. I think more people are coming to an understanding of how their actions impact the environment around them. At one point, I was partnered with FSU Sustainabilities Club, and I would reshare their posts and advertise their meetings for them. And any account or organization that is along those lines, I would share their information and help educate people with them.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's a sort of an influencer for trees and for the environment. Mm-hmm. And does that sort of play into your academic experiences, you know, working in marketing and things like that?
During my master's program, I took a class called Pro-Environmental Behaviors because of that topic. And in that, we split into groups and we all created different campaigns for FSU sustainability. And we got to look at all of the different research on how to influence people's behavior and all the different approaches you can take to do that. And that was very enlightening to be able to see that it's not just one facet. You can't just tell someone something and expect them to change. You have to be able to A, educate them, and then B, make sure it's accessible for them to adopt the behavior you want them to. So if you want people to say, recycle more, providing recycling bins to someone and having that recycle be picked up will lead you to having that behavior be done more often than if you just tell someone why recycling is good. So being able to learn all of that in my master class was so influential to understand that it's not just one thing. You can't just do one thing and hope everyone is changed by that. It's continued action, education, and accessibility.
So what actions do you think we can take to educate and, you know, make accessible protections for trees?
Definitely, education is at the forefront, making sure people understand why biodiversity is important, why having nature around you is not only good for your environment, but your mental health as well. And then giving people spaces like FSU's campus where they can come and enjoy that nature. I see people all the time on Landis swinging in hammocks versus when I go back to my hometown, there's very few parks. Where there are parks, you have to pay to park there. And then there's loitering laws that stop people from hanging out in those public spaces for too long. Versus on campus, where you can just go and enjoy your full day there. So being able to have these spaces where people can come and gather and enjoy the nature around them, I think is really important. And then for people to understand why that's important is like another facet.
Yeah. So you mentioned biodiversity, and I know we sort of talked earlier about how this is a unique place where we have palm trees, mm-hmm. but also oak trees. So what do you think about that, sort of the specific space that is Tallahassee in North Florida?
I love it. It's so interesting because when you think of Florida, I think most people go straight to beaches and Disney, but we have so many beautiful outside spaces here. You can go and drive down to the Everglades. You can go drive down to the Keys. You can come up here and be in a forest. No matter where you go in Florida, there's nature surrounding you, and it's going to be different just driving 30 minutes out of town.
Being around trees is especially important for students. It's well established that being surrounded by vegetation is positively correlated with academic performance. An article published by Dongying Li and William C. Sullivan in the journal Landscape and Urban Planning in 2016 proved that merely being able to see plant life was enough to improve student performance. Li and Sullivan compared high school students' physiological stress levels in classrooms with windows that did and did not open to green spaces. They found that students in classrooms with views of green space recovered better from stress and performed better on attention tests. Students' capacity to pay attention increased when they had a view of green space, especially after a break, a time when they get the chance to look out the window at the plants outside. Student stress levels were also impacted by viewing green spaces. Interestingly, there were no benefits to student attention and stress when they were in classroom with windows that let in sunlight but didn't have plants outside. The FSU Trees account reminds students to go on a walk or peer out a window at the trees around them. The benefits of Florida State University's campus trees are augmented when students are reminded to enjoy them. The academic benefits of trees, illustrated by the Lee and Sullivan study, aren't limited to high schoolers, and as it turns out, the trees don't even need to be green. A 2019 study at Northwest A&F University in China by Lina Guo et al., published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, studied graduate student responses to autumn foliage. They found that higher saturation autumn leaves induced relaxation and attentiveness while reducing anxiety levels. Lower saturation, weaker colored leaves of golden yellow and golden brown had less powerful impacts. So stress recovery can come from bright leaves of any color, not just green ones. On top of being aesthetic, those fall leaves in Chase's first post to the FSU Trees account were benefiting student well-being. A 2024 article, published in the same journal by Helena Ribeiro, Kila Valente de Sousa Santana, and Sofia Lizarralde Oliver, researchers at the Department of Environmental Health in Sao Paulo, Brazil, reviewed 32 other studies of the impacts of natural campus environments on college student mental health. The universities studied were mostly in the United States, Bulgaria, and China. All but one found a positive association between student well-being and campus greenery. In all 32 of these studies, a natural campus environment was once again cited as important for stress relief and improvement of students' attention capacity. It is clear that trees are especially important for college students' success and mental health. On one campus, though, located in a natural desert environment, brownness rather than greenness had the positive impact. But when you're used to trees, they're important to have around.
I mean, for many students, the campus was an enormously important part of their decision to come to FSU, the trees on campus, the vibe you get when you walk across land is green. And so for me, what it's been showing me is how much people who you just think are just walking down Legacy Walk or whatever are actually paying attention to the surroundings around them and to the trees around them and how much that's important to them.
Students don't just like the way trees look. They also help them be better students. So while Instagram is often blamed for distracting students, it can also be used to remind them to look at trees, something which will increase their attentiveness. Like any technology, it can be leveraged to have positive benefits, especially when it works in combination with the powers of trees.
The Instagram account Chase created leaves behind a fantastic legacy. So, trees have played a pretty powerful role in your life. What role have you played in the lives of trees? And I know that might be a harder question to answer.
Hopefully a good one. With promoting them and having other people share my love of them, I hope that the trees feel beautiful.
I absolutely love the enthusiasm that people have for the account and want to share photos they have taken either of a single outing that they've just done across campus and they've seen some beautiful sunlight or sunrises or sunsets, more likely sunsets, want to share that right away. Or people reach out and say, hey, I'm graduating, but over the years I've taken so many pictures, do you want 25 pictures of trees? And, you know, but just the variety of pictures we get them in spring with all the flowers out, or in winter when it's really much more stark, but then you can see the animals on the trees, the squirrels and the birds and the cats and that sort of thing. So it's just lovely to see the enthusiasm that the FSU community has for its trees on campus.
The profound relationship between trees and students at Florida State is a microcosm of the broader relationship between trees and people in Tallahassee. We love our trees and appreciate everything they offer us. Maybe, because of this relationship, Tallahassee's citizens will take a page out of Chase's book and channel this appreciation by offering something back to our environment. Chase certainly thinks we will.
So maybe the people I surround myself with just care about it, but to me it seems like we do. At least from what I've noticed.
My advice? Next time you see a nice tree, you don't need to take a photo of it, but at least take a moment to think about how many other people pass by that tree every day and the role that it might have played in their lives. Thank you for tuning in to Tallahassee Tree Talks. Special thanks goes to the Sunshine State Biodiversity Group, and of course to our guests Chase Clough and Claudia Lieberskind.